My name is Megan McFeely. This is KMUN in Astoria. Welcome to Inner Life, a thoughtful conversation about what it means to be human from the inside of ourselves. This is what psychologist Anne Behring says about inner life. There is in all human beings a secret personal life, often hidden from the community. It is a sensitive life which needs to be nourished and sustained. It is a life that lives deep within each person, waiting to be recognized and called forth. We're going to do that today. Today is my guest is Annalisa Durr, who's been a friend of mine for about 10 years. She has a PhD in mythological studies and depth psychology and is about to publish her first book, which is super exciting. But on the show today, we're really here to talk about our inner experiences, or an intimate landscape of feelings, intuitions, sensations, dreams, and insights. Most importantly, how we became aware of this aspect of ourselves. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have a friend doing this on my first time.
I'm excited that it's me.
Yeah. So I know that you've cultivated this inner relationship, listening to yourself, understanding yourself. And I wanted to ask you, how did that begin? Like, was there a moment, was there an experience that helped you open to something deep inside yourself and start to have a relationship with it?
You know, I think it was always there. But I keep coming back to this moment I had in my early 20s. I was working with a theater group, and we were actually really exploring some really deep ideas about death and dying in women's lives. It was a kind of a, I guess you would consider an ethnographic research theater project. And for whatever reason, I started kind of an inner philosophical quest. And I really started to ask myself, I was sitting with inside myself really wondering these deep questions like, why, I don't understand why it is that I was born in this, you know, middle class life, and I have this very, you know, easy upbringing in this part of the world, in the Pacific Northwest, when there are other people in the world having these drastically different experiences if we only live once. And I was just genuinely inside myself asking this question deep in my heart. And I heard this voice say, that's because you choose your parents. And I remember that began the quest of the inner search. For not just for truth, like with a capital T, but to explore kind of my, in what it means to me to be human, to be alive, to be in this kind of human experience that we all have. So I think that for me, as Joseph Campbell, the famous 20th century mythologist, would say, was the call to adventure, the call to explore my inner life.
I had an inner life as a child, and then it became clear to me that if I did not put this on the back shelf, I wasn't going to be able to function in this world, you know? So I made a conscious choice very young not to explore that, but then it kept pushing in and pushing into my life in different moments in time. But I think one of the most interesting things about this is this quest, I would call it, is the question, you know, is that there, for me, there was a deep question. There still is a deep question, and the question changes, but it's kind of, I don't think you can get that answered outside of yourself. You know what I mean? It's like something that you have to create this inner relationship so that you can get the inner voice. Now, the inner voice, I mean, I think this is not something most people are familiar with, and I still really struggle trying to listen to my inner voice, making decisions in doing what I think is most nourishing, or how do I support people? And do you have a practice that helps you connect to that part of yourself, this a silence practice or meditation? Or
I have a roving treasure trove of practices, but mostly, and they really range from sitting in silence. Like today, for example, I needed to sit in silence and kind of come back to myself. And so I laid down on the bed and I put one hand over my heart and the other heart over my womb. And I just practiced breathing into my hand, alternating between my hand and my heart, and, audibly breathing. And it really grounded and centered myself. And then I was able to have a conversation with what was ever happening inside my mind. And so that I wasn't overrun by all of these, this excess thoughts running through my brain, but I could really get clear about what was happening under the surface so that it wasn't distracting me from, for example, what we were going to be doing today. So that's one example of a practice.
So that didn't start. That's like something you've cultivated, right?
And yes.
I mean, so this voice just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And why do you believe that you were able to hear that?
I really believe it's because I was asking from a sincere place, from my heart, and I was open to receive.
Yeah. That is my experience too.
Yes.
Is that same, it's a longing, right? It's the heart wanting to have something really nourishing for it.
Exactly.
You know, something that's really makes it, makes being a human being real.
Yes, exactly. Because I think sometimes, and what I'm about to say is only something I would say now, having been on this journey for about 20 years.
Yeah.
But there's a lot happening outside of us. Mm-hmm. That's just noise, you know? And so what happens when you tune into the deeper layers happening within you, within your psyche, or even within the rhythms of your own heart or the rhythms of your own breathing, interesting information can come just from sitting and following your own breath.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's not easy.
It's really hard.
So when just listening to you, this idea came up is know thyself, you know, and is that on the temple in, where is that?
It's in Delphi.
In Delphi.
I love that you bring that up because I've been living in Greece, as you know, off and on for a couple years now, and I've been to Delphi, I think, 6 times. It's one of my favorite sacred spots. Yeah. And it was written somewhere along the entryway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's something really profound about know thyself. And at this point in time, I would say to me that phrase means like stripping away all of the conditioning.
Mm-hmm. The things you believe you should be.
Or that you are, yes.
Yeah.
That have been placed upon you.
Through the culture or through parents.
Through all of the things, religion,
right.
Exactly.
Beliefs,
education.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And get to kind of the undifferentiated truth, the truth that cannot be, the essence that cannot be broken. It cannot be added to. It's the essence of it's inside all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what know thyself means to me at this point in time.
You know what I found from knowing thyself?
What?
Not that I've arrived anywhere, because I'm just a journeyer, like everyone else is, you know, but what I have found from knowing thyself is that you know the whole, meaning you get to see and understand what's going on in the culture from a different place. It's from the inside out. Okay, I know that when, I don't know how to describe this, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I wish I could describe it properly, but so when, it's like to understand trauma and wounding. If you understand it yourself, you can see it and relate to it and have compassion for it in other people and understand that those types of wounds make you make just certain types of decisions. And many of the things that we're doing are coming from a reactionary place. And so it's so incredibly important work. And this culture is terrified of it. There's not, you know, I was forced into it. I was forced. I was working in, you know, the technology field and was a, you know, charging hard and making money. And I thought that was really valuable. And then my whole life fell apart. It was completely destroyed. And, you know, I got really ill and I had some people who were very important to me all die. And this is my first show.
We're going deep. This is the inner life.
Maybe I should put you on last. We'll just do this show and then I'll schedule you later in the show. But did you have to go through something really dramatic to open you to another way?
That's a good question. Initially, you know, I gave you the example of hearing that inner
voice.
Yeah, that's
dramatic.
That's dramatic. But I wouldn't say that was compelled by a specific, you know, dramatic experience in my life. Subsequently, yes, there have been other, you know, life situations that have driven me deeper and deeper into the exploration of what it means to be human. Why am I here? Who am I? And then I'm going to jump forward. You know, when I made the decision to go to graduate school, it wasn't because I needed a degree. For some people, that's the reason why. And rightly so, if you're going to be a medical doctor, for example, like you have to go through that, right? But in my case, it was because I had started this, what I call the journey to the goddess, which when I went on the first pilgrimage, and this pilgrimage was to the south of France to visit the sacred sites of Mary Magdalene, mm-hmm. It was on that journey that I realized that I was on a journey to find myself. Mm-hmm. And I got to the end of it, and I asked this question, who am I, through mm-hmm. the eyes of this, you could say the goddess or this sacred woman or this mythological figure, whatever, however you want to refer to her. And it compelled me to go on this journey of self-discovery. And even, so I have the two questions. There's the who am I through the eyes of the goddess. And then I became curious to know, what does it mean to be a woman? What mm-hmm. does it mean to be a woman? Mm-hmm. Unmediated by the patriarchal socialization that we go through. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think some people might go the opposite direction, you know, from the more specific to the broad, who am I? But I went from the broad to the more specific. And I feel like from that first question, you know, why is it that I was born here in this body as mm-hmm. Annalisa Durr in the Pacific mm-hmm. Northwest, mm-hmm. from that question to what does it mean to be a woman outside of patriarchal socialization? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of that's my life question. That's my quest mm-hmm. here.
I had a similar question, which was, who am I from inside of myself?
Mm.
You know, and it didn't have to do with any archetypes or goddesses. It was just like, who am I from inside of myself? And I think the reason I wanted to do this show is because, for many reasons, but one of them is that I think we're missing meaning in the culture.
Yes.
And we're starving for it, and our hearts are broken, and people don't know how to find it. And we're not going to find it at the shopping. We're not going to find it on TV. It has to come from inside of yourself, and it has to be, like you said, an authentic search. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show. And the other is to have conversations with everyone, you know, from all over the field of people about what matters to them and how do they find joy and how do they find meaning in their lives, and then share these stories, because it's through sharing of stories that we connect to each other. It's a beautiful, like right now you and I are very connected because we're sharing the story. And I hope that people who listen to this story, even though they might not relate to everything we're talking to, can feel that it's authentic, can feel that it's heartfelt, and maybe it calls forth in them a longing, or calls forth in them, you know, the feeling of the heart. And it's an offering. This show for me is something that maybe I can offer, so that people can find their way to a place of peace and meaning. Mm. And so that's the whole impetus for this. And
yeah, I love that. And I, as you were speaking, I was just reconsidering that, you know, I think you're right. I think that we can rediscover deeper meanings for the human experience when we are sitting and connecting with one another, because the culture's always going to create that for us, right? Like right now we live in a very money-centric culture, mm-hmm. and war-centric culture, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And these are meaning-making systems that are placed upon us when we're born into this culture right now. And this is kind of very anthropological too, so I'm not going to go into details. So, you know, every culture is teaching its children how to make meaning, right? And so I think, you know, as you stated a couple minutes ago, that right now the meanings that our culture has created for us are not working. Mm-mm. They're problematic. They're killing the planet. We're sick. You know, we're psychologically, a lot of people are depressed.
We're heartbroken. Yeah.
So, yeah, I love where you're going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just am taking a 15-minute break here. This is The Inner Life on KMUN in Astoria. Didn't want to stop our conversation, but I have a job, you know. Yes. So it is really like, how do we rethink, restory a way to live that is more nourishing for people? And, you know, I was in a place that was not nourishing, and I lived that. And I had the most giant of egos. Like, I thought I was so powerful and important, and I made a lot of money, and I was, you know, at the beginning when the internet began and all the people there were powerful, and there's lots of big egos, and I had one. And but I didn't give me any meaning. It, you know, and I think I alienated a lot of people too, because I was all, you know, a little brash and mean and pushy and all that. You need to be as a woman to be successful in this
man's world,
in this culture.
Yeah.
So I've been there, and, you know, even though what it took to get where I am now was really, really painful, I feel like I have my feet on the ground, and I'm nourished from inside of myself. You know, like I said, there's so much more to explore, but I feel like I have a base for that. And I just want to introduce that possibility to people, that this is possible. And yes.
I'm really loving this word nourish, and it's a word I hear come up in a lot of women's circles right now. Mm. And the women's health expert I work with, who actually gave me a lot of the content I'm incorporated in my book, that's something that she comes back to all of the time, because it's like, how can you actually really be in tune with your inner self if you're not nourished? Right. Mm-hmm. If you're not self-regulating and self-tended to, or maybe the better question is, like, aiming for nourishment is the gateway to being able to really access on a continuous basis your inner life. And I'm just like, right now I'm like, God, I wish I had a phone in front of me so I could look up the etymology of nourishment.
Because I think you are a geek.
I think that would really like give us some insight in this moment. But I love that you've mentioned that word a couple of times now.
I was going to say something about what you were just talking about. I guess, you know, you said that you were finding nourishment was the end game.
Or gateway. I think I used gateway.
The gateway. And I think everything for me happened at once. Mm. It was like, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to find nourishment, then I'll find myself. But it was not like that. It was, life had its own path.
Yes.
And I think one thing that, it's a real basic thing, but I think it's incredibly important, is that if you come with that longing that we had, with the longing for something real and deep, life gives you what you need. And we have not trusted life to nourish us, because we've forgotten that this is how it works. But if you go to a place like India or Iran, you get to feel what the deep nourishment of a culture feels like, even though it's chaotic. I mean, not Iran so much, but I haven't been there, to be honest with you. But to India, it's chaos. There's just incredible chaos. But if you allow yourself to just follow what is being shown to you. And I mean, you know, here's an example. One day I needed like 10 things on my list at the grocery store. I walk out of the door to get the 10 things. I have a list. That day I got nothing, you know. The next day I walk out with no list, no intention. I got everything I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's a magical thing that you have to learn to trust, and we don't know about it, we don't trust it, and there's a lot of anxiety and separation in this culture because of that, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the gifts of being an outsider in India is learning deep surrender.
Yeah.
Because you cannot control anything that happens.
No, you can't.
In India, you have to completely surrender to what is. Mm-hmm. Even if what is really terrible,
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. There you go. Yeah. Like, wow, this is really challenging.
Yeah.
But it brings the greatest gifts. And I just want to touch one moment on nourishment again too. It's not. I think. I don't think it's the requirement to reach your inner life. Mm. But I think for me, what it's helped is like it sustains. It helps me sustain it longer, mm-hmm. you know. Although complete moments of chaos or I don't know what the opposite of nourishment would be, but moments where you feel like everything is falling apart,
malnourished.
There you go. Or where everything is falling apart, and those can also be, you know, portals or gateways to the inner life.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But
if you have the right attitude.
Yes.
And the right attitude is, I don't know what's going on. What's the lesson here? You know?
Yeah, exactly. But I think, again, our point is it's finding that place of openness and receptivity, mm-hmm. and your willingness to just surrender and receive.
But that's so scary, Annalisa.
You're right. It is really difficult in our culture. You're absolutely right that our culture is about controlling every single thing from the moment before we're born until after we die. Right? I mean, even in death, everything is very controlled, right? And there's a lot of rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. I have some friends, a friend who's Hindu, and you know, even after her husband signed all of these specific directives, when he passed away, she had to really fight the Western medical system to have their, you know, her specific cultural practices or protocols in place.
Honored,
because our system wanted to control them in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so even in death.
Yeah, no.
You know?
Right.
So I think, again, one of the things I love about India is deep surrender.
Yeah, no, it's a master.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't.
you're going to suffer a lot.
You are not making it out. You will not get out. I remember looking at this, crosswalk. It wasn't a crosswalk, but it was when all the streets come together. What's that called?
Oh, an intersection?
Yeah, thank you. Wow. In India.
Yes.
And there's dog carts, and there's camels, and there's people and on cows. Motorcycles.
Yeah.
It's chaos.
Yeah.
And you watch, and I did literally watch this happen all the time because it was so fascinating to me. People would weave in and get in the mess and then weave out on the other side, and they knew how to do it. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. I'm too afraid to do that, you know? But that's what it's about, is getting into the movement.
Exactly.
And allowing it to move you, and then getting out when you have to, you know, so that you can survive.
Exactly. And everything is like perfectly in its place in the chaos, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a microcosm for the cosmos, yeah, for the cosmic dance that we're all a part of. And
we don't believe we're part of that, though.
No,
Annalisa.
No.
We have decided how this is going to go, and we're going down this trajectory, and the end game we already know, which to me is so such a kind of a crazy way to believe is that we know where we're going, you know. We do a lot of philosophizing about that and projections and predictions, and in a way that's something that doesn't serve us, because in order to support what's happening, we just need to understand that we're not in charge, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, before we got on the mic, before we started having a conversation, we were talking about cycles and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the more connected you are to the earth, the more you start living the earth's rhythm, rhythms,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the rhythms of the moon and the cosmos, whatever, because everything is cyclical. And so I think that that's what's actually real, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And when we connect with that, that's another way to connect with our inner life, is actually connecting with nature all of around us. Because in our culture, again, we're trying to control it and mismanage it and bend it to our will.
You know, and that's the only way we're going to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, is the only way we're going to heal. And we need to pay attention to the earth and listen to what it is she's trying to tell us. And if you don't believe us, just try it. You know, try to do it for a little bit of time. And I hope that you find something that nourishes you. So I want to thank people for listening to Inner Life, and I hope in the future to invite you to participate. I want to thank Annalisa for being here on my first voyage, and I hope to have you all back another time for our next episode. Thanks so much.